It was just this wake-up call of, I need to take my financial future and what I do for a living into my own hands, because I'm just tired of working really hard for somebody else and not having any control over where that ultimately goes. So that was the beginning.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited. We've got a big one in the house today. We got Mike Hambright. Mike's a veteran real estate entrepreneur. He's rehabbed and wholesaled at least 400 plus houses, built a rental portfolio consisting of single family properties. He's got an ownership stake in over $100 million in multifamily investments. In addition to his extensive experience there, he's a founder of FlipNerd.com. He's produced 1,500 plus podcasts, millions of views and downloads. Mike's coached hundreds of real estate investors directly, thousands indirectly, and sought after as an advisor of many of America's top real estate investors through his Investor Fuel Real Estate Mastermind. It's a leading organization, over 150 of the nation's leading real estate investors. Additionally, Mike's co-founder of Investor Machine, the most cutting-edge tech and data-driven lead generation system in the country for professional real estate investors. He's a husband to Lindsay, father of Jake. So I'm excited to have him here. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good to see you, Neil.
Good to see you. I appreciate you taking the time to connect here. I'm excited to catch up and hear about all the new happenings you've got going on. But hey, that's right. But before we talk about what's new, tell me this. Where'd you even start in this business? What was the entry point to the industry?
So 2008, really kind of probably 2007-ish, I started to dabble with a couple things, but really kind of started full-time in 2008. I kind of refer to myself as a corporate refugee. So my wife and I were both in corporate America, had kind of climbed our way up to middle management, if you will. So had decent paying jobs, all that stuff. But, you know, the short version is I got fired from a job that I loved because it was a kind of a political issue with my boss. And so my boss got fired and like, hey, that guy's got to go too. Mm-hmm. Whatever your name is, you're going to type thing. And then went to work for a startup that was flying high and did really well for like 18 months until they filed for bankruptcy. And then I was kind of out on the streets again, if you will. Yeah. And for me, it was, you know, at the time I was still a relatively young guy. And it was just this wake up call of like, hey, I need to take my financial future and what I do for a living into my own hands, because I'm just tired of working really hard for somebody else and not having any control over where that ultimately goes. And so that was kind of the beginning. So started flipping houses in the Dallas area here and got off to the races pretty fast. In fact, our first year, we ended up, I think, doing about 65 deals, mostly rehabs, a little bit of probably third wholesale or two thirds fix and flips. And so kind of doing it the hard way as we started out.
Sure.
And a whole bunch of stuff happened other than that, but I know you want the show to be more than 5 minutes, so I'll stop.
Well, let's go down a couple rabbit holes. Tell me, you know, fix and flip, you did a ton year one. What had you even go down that path versus wholesaling or doing something else?
So in 2008, you know, a lot of investors were running away from the industry and we were running in, but we were naive. We didn't know what we were running into, but we were just like running towards wanting a better life for ourselves and more control and like towards success. Like we're going to make this successful no matter what. So we didn't have like a lot of investors thought we were crazy, or people, certainly our family members thought we were crazy. They're like, why would you don't have insurance? Like, what do you know, how are you doing all these things? Why don't you go get a real job? Yeah. For us, we were just committed to making it happen. So a couple of good things, some blessings happened as we got access to some capital through friends and family would lend to us. At the time where a lot of banks stopped lending, we had a friend of a friend that knew the president of a small local bank, and they kind of made a bet on us after we had done a few deals and kind of showed them, you know, they're like, how do you buy these things so cheap? They were kind of a real estate based bank, but mostly for builders, not for fix and flip guys. But they're like, yeah, we'll give you a shot. So we kind of had a line of credit with them. So we had some capital, which was fortunate. We probably would have wholesaled more if it weren't for that. And so interestingly enough, I really knew almost nothing about wholesaling when I started. Like I just knew of buying houses, fixing them up and flip. I didn't even know that, but I knew of it just from TV shows and stuff like that. Like I kind of fall in love with the idea of the transformation. Right. And so tended to lean more towards that in the beginning. And then truthfully, over time, we realized, hey, we make a lot more money doing this anyway. So I've definitely wholesaled and assigned, you know, a lot of deals, but our tendency was always to kind of retail them, like retail them out, or, you know, I guess starting maybe 8 or 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, even. I had a good friend, a guy with a lot of experience that basically referred to me before. And I never really thought about this. And I don't want to say this. Like, I know somebody that said, well, I invented wholesaling. I'm like, that's a bold statement, you know?
Right.
But I was probably one of the first guys. And I knew a couple of people that were doing it before me in a roundabout way. That way we kind of refer to as wholesaling now.
Yep.
So it's just, it's a long story as to kind of how that path, how I went down that path. But I was doing that, you know, way before it was cool. I'll say that.
You had to have made it cool.
Well, I don't know about that.
The run up in the market.
It made my life easier.
Yeah. And wholetailing has certainly gotten easier given the tightness and supply, right? And, yeah, and the velocity of demand. Now you can just get away by doing less, right?
Yeah. You know, when I go back to 2009, 10 in the Dallas market, so Texas was never really hit as bad as a lot of markets. Yeah. The market was down, but there's been an influx of population coming here for a long time.
Right.
And even back in 2009 and 10, when a lot of people were either licking their wounds or out of business, like it would be uncommon for us to list a new retail house, like fully rehab, put it on the market for it to not be under contract within a week.
That's incredible.
Now, we weren't getting like 40 or 50 showings like what happens now.
Right.
But we just built a better mousetrap. Like we would put out the nicest product and price it like right at or just below market. And we just basically inserted ourselves to be next in line.
Yep.
And so I think that's kind of the game. It's not, you know, it's not to like, how do I, there's some guys that I know that like, they are trying to set the bar in a market. They're trying to over rehab. And that's worked in some markets, especially like where I'm at in DFW now. But those are going to be the first folks that get hurt in any sort of downturn for sure.
Yeah. If you're going to play that game, you need to be quick to adjust pricing and know that, you may take a short on one or two if the market turns hard enough. Right.
No doubt.
Yeah. How'd you go about even finding a contractor? That for some folks, that's people's, you know, not any piece of the business is easy, but that can be a really challenging.
Yeah. It's interesting because there's parts of my life that I look at and I say, I got lucky here. And you know, you know, what I think about luck is like, you kind of make your own luck. Like that's I figured out a way to be in the right place at the right time. So I did get lucky in a roundabout way. I found through a referral from somebody else that I knew that had done a bunch of deals. They referred me to a contractor that they hadn't used much, but they knew of. And it ended up being a partnership with two guys. And so I kind of never knew the second guy until the first guy decided to move out of state. So then the second guy came in, his name's Kevin. You might've met Kevin. He's in Kevin Burke.
Yeah.
And we've become at this point, you know, fast forward, 14 years now, he's one of my best friends. Like, you know, we go to hockey games. We like travel together. Our families get together. We do all kinds of things. He's like, I care a lot about him. We're good friends.
Yeah.
And we've had lots of ups and downs along the way. No doubt about it. We've broken up and we've gotten back together and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was just this relationship kind of built on trust. Like I said, for the first several years, there were lots of ups and downs, but I think it came to a place of mutual respect to where I can trust him with any part of my life right now. Like I would trust him with anything.
Yep.
And you know, some of it is one of the things that I've told, like over the years, I've done a lot of coaching and stuff. And one of the challenges with finding a contractor is you have to find a way to where they're important to you and you're important to them.
Yep.
And so if you don't do a lot of volume, if you rehab a house every like, you know, four times a year or something like that, you're not that important to them because they have lots of other clients and they're spending a bunch of time trying to find business. But when you get to a point to where, you know, back in the heyday when I was doing a lot more volume, we were probably rehabbing 7 to 10 houses at any time. And Kevin was handling all of them.
Right.
And so he didn't work for anybody else. Like he had crews built around kind of my business. And then as I started to kind of slow down because I had other businesses and a rental business and coaching and lots of other things that got bolted on over time. One way I maintained that relationship with him was I would introduce him to people that I thought he should work with to the point today where almost everybody he works with at this point is probably somebody that I introduced to him. And so, you know, but that's another way to do it. If you're not doing a ton of volume, it's like almost create a little bit of a co-op of some people that you know that need a reliable contractor too, and kind of go at it from the angle of like, hey, we're together on this. So if you screwed one of us, you screwed all of us.
That's exactly right.
And together we're kind of important to you, or we should be, you know?
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
So, you know, let's call that a decade plus of flipping homes, 14 years or so. What's been the biggest challenge in that business, specifically flipping?
Yeah. Biggest challenge, it is finding contractors and finding the right people, whether it's acquisitions people, whether it's people in your office. I mean, I've been through a bunch. Obviously, you're the king at helping folks find the right team members, but that has always been the problem, is finding the right people to be in your business that are, you know, productive and going to be happy and can rely on them. And because this is for a lot of folks, this is a hard business to step out of, if you will, right? So
correct.
Finding the right team is clearly, I'd say, the biggest challenge, probably in all businesses, but certainly in the rehabbing space or the investing space.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk about stepping out of the business. Let's just pivot to rental properties, single family homes. So you've built a portfolio over a period of time.
Yep.
And so knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently, if anything, relative to the item, the homes that you fixed and flipped or wholesaled along the way?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of rentals specifically.
Yeah. I mean, would you have kept more? Would you have not?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's the biggest, like hindsight's always 20/20. Like now, you know, we have rentals that we paid like 15 grand for and put 15 or 20 into them that are worth like 200 now. Like, I wish I had kept, I mean, we've flipped hundreds of houses. Like, why didn't we keep more of them? And at the time, you know, who would have known, right?
Right. That, correct.
Like, even in Texas, like I have, I had kind of a mentor in a roundabout way of somebody that owned a lot of doors. I think at the time, I think he's sold some stuff off now, but he owned about 2,000 doors in the Dallas market. Wow. And probably one of the bigger guys in town, but the type of like millionaire next door guy, like not very many people even know who this guy is, because he just doesn't put himself out there, you know? And he's like, you got to focus on cash flow. You're never going to get any appreciation in Texas, maybe 2 or 3% a year. And of course, that's like changed dramatically now, but that is how it was for a long, long time. Yeah. And now, you know, all bets are off as the world's upside down.
Yeah, right. It looks completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing stuff now. We're doing, you know, we used to just try to like bang them out. Like, you know, we would kind of low budget. Like if we measured a rental rehab, through many of the years, we would always budget it at a lower level than a retail rehab because it doesn't need to be quite as nice because it's just going to be a rental. Right. But I'll tell you now, we're actually going back and doing much nicer rehabs. And sometimes we're just putting more cost into the materials. Like I'm putting in these composite floors now that are like 3 times the cost of carpet, but they have a 50-year life. You can't burn them. They can get wet and you can just take them apart and dry them. And so, you know, just thinking about the maintenance cost of rentals, because if you just go for like the cheapest carpet, I mean, you're going to replace that between every tenant, you know?
Right. So it's not so much about making it look exactly like what a flip product would look like, but it's really about hardening the asset so that it can take more wear and tear from somebody who's going to live there. That's not going to
treat it like us. Yeah. If you're playing the long game, that's what you should do, right?
Right. Yeah. From a cash flow standpoint, you're exactly right. Talk to me about coaching and then into Investor Fuel for folks who aren't as familiar with it as I am.
Sure. Sure. So when I started, I guess a couple of years into my business, I like to say that my wife and I were working really hard. We were in this like tiny hole in the wall office in a northern suburb of Dallas. And we just got to a point to where like, I've always, you know, me as the guy that hosts a mastermind now and all these things, right? I'm kind of a party planner, if you will. And I've always been that guy. I've been that guy since high school.
Yeah.
And even when we were in corporate America, like, you know, it's always somebody's birthday. There's always a happy hour. There's like, if you work for companies that have hundreds or thousands of people, like there's always something.
Always something. Yep.
And then it went to my wife and I and like an older lady who was our admin in a hole in the wall office without any exposure to anybody other than just like working with those three people for the most part. And, it got to a point where we just got kind of lonely. Yeah. So the first thing I did is I actually sponsored, and I didn't even know why I didn't really have any way to make money. I started to sponsor a table at like a RIA club. So I was like, hey, I need to like meet people and, you know, maybe I can sell them some deals. Maybe they'll sell me some deals. And that evolved into me having conversations with people about like, how do you do this? Like, can you show me how to do it? And then I started doing something I call Rehab Live. I used to basically take people to our rehabs, and I would basically invite, back then there weren't even, I've got to be careful dating myself here. You know, it's like, there weren't even meetup groups back then, but there weren't, there were like listserv sites, you know, like somebody will give you they'll give you basically an email that you can send to that's a distribution list, like into their RIA club. So as a sponsor, I got access to the list of people that were in that club, and it was a pretty good sized club. Yeah. So I started to invite people like, hey, I'm going to do this thing called Rehab Live. Come out and watch us rehab a house, and basically come three times, like right at the beginning and all its glory before we've even trashed it out. Come again in the middle where you can kind of see where we're going here. And then come again a couple weeks later at the end, and you're going to see this massive transformation. You know, people really love that. And we would just sit around and talk about it. And that led into kind of coaching. Like people are like, you know, who are your contractors? Can you show me how to do this? People want to lend you money. Like when you kind of entertain or educate people, like there's some level of reciprocity, like they trust, they kind of start, you know, some of them start to know, like, and trust you. Maybe some of them don't, but and that turned into opportunities to coach and get deals from people. And so that turned into a pretty large coaching operation ultimately. And I kind of partnered with a lot of people, like we JV on deals, or they would assign deals to me. I was the first person they would go to because they knew I could close. And back then I could, you know, I would basically, the way I kind of separated myself was like, I'll close if the title's clear, like I close in 48 hours, you know. Or I was the guy that if a deal fell through and you got to close on this thing in a hurry, like come to me, right? So I was kind of that guy. And I got a lot of joy out of teaching and educating people and all that. So I've done a lot of coaching, and I got to the point to where I realized I would had some kind of students that became successful and they became more of peers. Like we could talk about real problems in the business and stuff like that.
Right.
Then I realized that, man, I really like talking with people that I kind of see as a peer more so than a new person.
Right.
And in hindsight, like now I look and I say, look, it's way easy for me to talk to people and advise them and give guidance or whatever on taking somebody from 20 to 40 or 40 to 60 deals than to get somebody from 0 to 1.
Correct.
Because that 0 to 1 group, and I was there too. We were all there at
all
some
of
point.
Us.
And
yep.
I have a soft spot in my heart for newbies, but it's not even about real estate investing. It's about what's between their ears.
That's
it's the
exactly
mindset
right.
of all that. Does this really work? Should I quit my job? Like all these like mindset things.
Right.
And so that really was kind of the beginning of Investor Fuel, the mastermind. And so that's been about 4.5 years now they've been doing that. And it's grown into something, you know, bigger than I ever could have imagined. And I feel like we're still just getting started too. And so
talk to me a little about the format of Investor Fuel and really, you know, the types of people who plug in, who this might be good for.
Yeah. So we've kind of broadened out to where we actually have multifamily investors as well now. I'll come back to that. But for the most part, it's single family investors. And we have a couple of groups. There's a group for people doing 10 to 50 deals a year. We call that the gold group. And then our platinum group is those doing 50 deals and above. And we've got some folks in our group that are doing 500 or 600 deals a year now. We have some heavy hitters in there. So, but I think, and in fact, I have a call today with somebody that was in the group, somebody you would probably know that actually left the group. And they're like, you know, it's been 6 months and they're like, I miss this group. I got to come back. And that's happened a few times. Maybe it'll happen to somebody else we know, Neil.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's like, I'll call it an association. It's a professional association of bringing people together in a place where they can share what's working and what's not, and not be afraid to admit that stuff isn't working. Right. And so I think it's kind of a safe place to come, just kind of get your problems out there and ask for feedback from people that you respect and would do the same for. So I'll say it's in many ways, it's a brotherhood with plenty of women in the group as well.
Yep.
But we're just a tight knit family of people that want to help each other get to the next level.
Well, you know, the challenging part about this business is, and depending where you're at, right? And certainly my neck of the woods, it's a small business. There's not that many people who do this. And for one to be able to have real conversations with folks who experience what you experience, what you're going through, trends, what's taking place in the industry, what's coming down the pipeline, the ability to plug into a brotherhood, a group of people who are not your competitor in your backyard, but who are going through the exact same two things you're going through, and you want the best for them and they want the best for you. And neither one, you know, it's only a plus plus. Neither one loses no matter what you share with somebody else.
Sure.
It's a terrific spot, and you've been able to foster that environment for hundreds of people.
Yeah. And it's a ton of fun. And you're right though. Like I kind of use this example of, we have some friends in our neighborhood that we got to dinner with sometimes, or like one of my best friends that was my roommate in college. Like I can't go out to dinner and say, hey man, I made 60 grand on a house yesterday. And I can't say I lost 30 grand on a house yesterday. Those are like alien conversations. They're like, you made $60,000 yesterday? Or like, how did you even have $25,000 to lose? Like, right. Or even stuff like, so you find yourself as an investor kind of on an island, right? You can't really talk about the stuff that you want to talk about because the people that are around you, that they're not in that business, it's so alien to them that it's going to sound like you're bragging, right?
Right.
I'm not saying this to brag. Like, I'm just saying what happened. I mean, we know there's ups and downs. And so,
correct.
So it's hard to get around people that kind of get you, right? I mean, we're all a little bit weird. We've worked really hard to get here, and finding that group of people that you can open up to is worth its weight in gold when you find the right group.
Well, we're all pretty much unemployable. The way things work is you just need to hang out with other people who are unemployable, and magic happens, really.
Yeah. I was with somebody a while back. This is when it really hit home. This is actually probably a few years ago with somebody in our neighborhood. And they said, what do you have going on? You know, what are you going on next week? And I was like, well, we were going on a vacation and we had just gotten back from a vacation. Now, the truth is when I'm on vacation, I'm usually working too. And we're finding a way to fit it all in as entrepreneurs. And just this look on their face. And they kind of like, didn't you just get back from vacation? And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to zip my lip. And like, I didn't say it to brag. It was just like matter of fact, like this is, you know, it wasn't always this way, but I worked hard to get here. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about that. It wasn't always this way. Knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently as an investor looking back?
I mean, clearly kept more houses like we talked about. I feel like early on, you know, I had one of the benefits of us coming out of corporate America is we really understood investing in the business. Right. With building out systems and processes and scaling up our advertising. And we really kind of probably had a leg up on somebody if you haven't been through, you know, that type of environment before. But I feel like back to the people part, like I feel like we really struggled with that. Like I would have hired people a lot more, a lot sooner. I would have hired a true coach. I would have, back then there really weren't masterminds. It was more like RIA clubs were like kind of the place to be, but I would have found a way to surround myself with people like kind of what I do now. Like I'm, some ways I've created what I wish I had when I was earlier in my career. Right. And so just getting around the right people. And I also feel like because I had gotten fired from like a dream job in corporate America, and now it's like, obviously I ain't ever going back. Right. But not at the time anymore. It hurts.
Right.
And both jobs I had, it was this corporate feeling of like dog eat dog. Like you're always angling to get a promotion or try to like, oh, this guy just left. Maybe I can get his job. Or that's how the corporate environment is at the end of the day, or in my experiences. And some of these are like multi-billion dollar companies. They're huge companies. Right. And so I feel like there wasn't this, the culture of sharing and giving because you feel like somebody's going to take something from you. Right. And that came with me into the real estate space for a couple, probably 18 months, 24 months, where I just didn't want to share what I knew, or I didn't want to share my resources. And then that all kind of changed when I started doing these like rehab live things that I mentioned. As I started, people would ask questions and I was like, I'm not going to tell you who that guy is. And, you know, I kind of would like say, well, I can't tell you who my roofer is or whatever. And then it came to the point to where I was like, you know, I'll tell you who all my contractors are, except for my general contractor. Like, that's like a good babysitter. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, because exactly I want them to be available when I'm available. But I think once I started to share and once I started to do deals with people and I kind of saw this like, wow, the more I give, the more I get mentality, everything changed for me. And I wish that it happened to me sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who are in this business. They're really good at getting talking to people. They're really good at sales. You know, some of the best obviously come from the sales standpoint, especially if they're in the wholesale side, because the fix and flip, they just don't deal with it at all. But finding that next deal is a challenging piece for them. You've been able to help fill that gap with Investor Machine. Tell me a little about that. How did that come to fruition? And what do you guys do to help folks who...
Oh, Investor Machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Investor Machine is really, I can kind of call it a lead gen agency, but we've really become a data company. But our end product is kind of done for you lead generation for professional investors. And so that actually happened. I actually just got off a call with my partner, Jason Lewis, who know.
I do.
Jason, the way we met is he joined Investor Fuel. And so it was, we were in his market in Salt Lake City for an event a couple of years back. And at the first event, we just hit it off. I kind of say it was like peanut butter and jelly coming together. Like, because I had done a bunch of stuff in the coaching space and I knew I'd always thought about kind of creating a done for you marketing platform, but I just didn't want to run an agency. And I know that most people complain about the leads and they said the leads suck. And it's like, well, that's how the business works. Most of the leads suck. And every once in a while, there's one that doesn't, you know? And
no matter who's running the leads.
Right.
Right.
So I just never took that on. And I was on the verge of doing it with some of my coaching programs of providing like a done for you service. And I just didn't pull the trigger on it. And then I met Jason, and Jason was actually doing lead gen for like two people at the time. So this was small at the time. Yeah. And we just kind of started sharing our ideas, and we just kind of clicked, right?
Yeah.
And so that started up with us plugging in people that I knew. It was some people from Investor Fuel at the time. We actually just beta tested it in Dallas. This is beginning of summer of 2019. This was August of 2019. Mm-hmm. And just because of a lot of relationships I had, we had like instant customers, people that just trusted us, but right. We had, you know, it was a delicate line because we're trying to get you to do something new here, but you know, we haven't quite figured this out ourselves yet.
Right.
And we still have some of our very first customers. It was really cool. We were just talking about that from the very beginning, despite a bunch of challenges that we had in hindsight, but now we run way more efficiently now.
Sure.
So effectively, you know, in terms of building a better mousetrap, we just know that he or she with the best data wins.
Yep.
And we've just found a way through an army of people, like almost 100 people that work for us now that wow. just are data miners. They literally are just going into the markets where we operate in, which is about counties, I'll say, about 350 counties around the country mm-hmm. right now. And we're going into those counties every day and every week and mining new data that we effectively built some software to do kind of list stacking on steroids. So we try to find the most distressed stuff in a market, and then we kind of white glove handle managing their direct mail campaigns and skip tracing. They want to do that, and probably some other things in the future as well. So because of the mastermind and because Jason's a rock star yeah. and all the stuff that we've done, the stars were kind of aligned for people just to trust in us, which we don't take lightly. And so now we're running the marketing. We're effectively an outsourced marketing manager for a lot of the top investors in the country at yeah. this point right now. So it's turned into something that we never would have expected. And it's really cool. At this point, we feel like we're just getting started actually.
Yeah. Who's that ideally for? The type of investor, size wise,
so single family investors. It's really for people that are spending at least enough to do a deal a month. Although we have people that are, you know, spending well into the six figures a month with us at this point. So kind of the professional investor that sees the value in, yeah, I could go mine this data. I could stack the list. I could order my mail every month, but why would I, if I could pay you guys effectively a fraction of what it would cost me to hire a marketing manager to do that for me. And you guys do it all day, every day. So you're proficient at it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So people that, you know, understand the value. A lot of us as real estate investors are cheap. Like we try to do everything cheap.
Correct.
Try to buy a house cheap. I want to try to get a cheap contractor. I want investor friendly pricing. Can I go spend my time at Home Depot finding, you know, a fraction of a pallet of tile that's left and get a deal savings there without considering their opportunity costs of their time? And so we really work with the investor that understands the value of their time and the value of having marketing that's just a little bit better. I mean, operates a little bit better than everything else because yeah. that little bit is worth a lot to guys like us.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's where I think first somebody's got a business and they know how to execute. The opportunity costs are so high. Their ability to not stay in their lane, especially in today's market, given you know, margins continue to increase, is what it's been for the last, you know, 1 to 2 years or so.
Right.
They've got to stay focused and doing what they do best and outsource the rest.
That's right. Yeah. Most of the better investors, there's something that everybody's very good at. And there's a bunch of other stuff that they're mediocre at, and right. a couple of things are probably terrible at, right?
Correct.
So a lot of folks in our business are really good at sales.
Yep.
Not very many are really good at marketing. Some of them are really good leaders like you and can really build a team out. Yep. And so, you know, you just have to find, I think it's hard because when we started, a lot of us were like a one-man band, a one-woman right. band,
correct.
Husband and wife team, or right. like we were lean and mean, right?
Yep.
And so we had to get scrappy. And sometimes it's hard to shed that history of like, we'll just do it ourselves, because at the end of the day, that's a job. That's not a business.
Correct. Well, then you being, you know, you meaning individually being scrappy and then hiring an employee and now expecting them to somehow be scrappy with your money.
Right.
That is a, I mean, your expectations are askew.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. All right. So I want to bring it back and then to one thing, and then we'll kind of move forward. But the, you mentioned in Investor Fuel, the multifamily piece, touch on that just a little.
Oh yeah. So about 3 years ago, I really made a shift to, for my own investments, to invest in multifamily. And what I kind of found was I love fixing and flipping. I love the transformation, but it's very much a transactional business. Right. And it got me to where I was. And what I really wanted was to keep rentals. And so I kind of think of like today money, like active money, right? And then kind of more passive money.
Right.
And I just, because I had some other businesses, I wasn't super worried about today money anymore. Yeah. I was more worried about how do I invest, keep that invested. So I started to do some multifamily deals. We've actually done some large self-storage development stuff as well, but most of it has been multifamily deals and where your money's working 365 days a year while you're sleeping. Some of these properties that I'm invested in, I haven't even physically been to myself, and they're like $25, $30 million properties, right?
Yeah.
So trusted largely back to the whole coaching and relying on, you know, paying for knowledge from somebody that can help you climb the learning curve a lot faster. For me, that was my good friend, Corey Peterson, you know, yeah. Corey, the big kahuna.
Absolutely.
And Corey used to be a single family guy and had moved into multifamily and owns a lot of doors now and helps a lot of people achieve financial freedom and kind of invest passively. So I started investing with Corey, and now it's to the point to where I'm a GP and the deals that he finds. And so we had been friends for a long time, and he was actually been an Investor Fuel, even though at the time it was all single family.
Right.
He's like, I don't even do single family anymore, but I'm here because I like the community. I like the friend, you know, I have some good friends here. And finally I twisted his arm and said, let's start a multifamily group. And that's what we did. So that's only been up and running for, you know, maybe 9 months or so now. And so we're at the very beginning, but about to see some pretty amazing growth. So we've got people in there now that are fairly new, that like, we've got a woman in the group that's fairly new. She's doing her first deal right now. It's a $40 million deal.
Wow.
And
first deal.
And one of the cool, so unlike single family, like yeah. 0 to 1, you don't really have a lot of knowledge like yet, correct. You know, right. Multifamily, it's like life changing, right?
Correct.
I mean, that changes your family tree for sure.
Yes.
But the cool thing is in the cash flow, we call it our cash flow group, the multifamily group is all the members are involved. Like anybody gets a deal, like they're all helping each other raise money. They're all introducing them to all their kind of contractors and resources, because many of those are national in scope instead of local, like they would right. be for single family guys. So it's really cool to see like what's happening over there and how everybody's working together. And we feel like we're going to grow that group, you know, quite a bit over time here. And it's really cool because it allows me to participate in deals with people that are in right. the group. And, you know, that's not something I can really do for the most part in the single family groups.
Well, I think you said it, that multifamily really is a team sport. There yeah. are a lot of positions that have to be played to get a right. deal to close and to have that resource and the resources of multiple people and all their contacts. Yeah, I can see that going a long way.
Yep.
So bring me to current. What's this year look like for you, and where are you headed?
Yeah, I'm mainly focused on Investor Fuel. I'll say this, Investor Fuel is a business for me as a mastermind, but it's really my passion, where my passion's at. With, you just have a lot of amazing friendships and you know, we have quarterly events, but we also have, in fact, next week we're going to Vegas with about 20 okay. so members and shooting guns in the desert and something with champagnes and speedboats, which are probably two things that shouldn't go together, but we're going to be in Vegas. So whatever happens has to stay yep, there.
That's right.
So anyway, we really kind of celebrate life together. A lot of us, we do 3 different trips a year. So we've got a Vegas trip, a rafting trip to Colorado, and then we have a trip to Cabo in the fall that about 30 or so people went last year. And I think it'll be bigger this year. Yeah. So for me, it's just, you know, continuing to kind of pour into the group as much as I can. And I get a lot of value out of the friendships and the relationships, and just focusing on Investor Machine and trying to do more multifamily deals. And it's a lot of stuff. It adds up, yep. but that's kind of my pure focus right now, is just on impacting other people, which I get a lot of joy from
yeah.
and trying to build my family's legacy through multifamily investments.
Through multi. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's move on to our final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
What is your favorite quote?
Favorite quote. I knew you were going to ask that. So I actually have it on a canvas sign on my wall yeah. right outside of here. So the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Is to create.
Which is a quote by Abraham Lincoln.
Why is it so impactful for you?
I just feel like there's opportunity out there for everyone. I mean, I talk a lot about, I feel like there's a, you know, very much a victim mentality in America these days, or it's way too prevalent, let's say.
Yeah.
If people really just focus on trying to change their lives or think bigger, like they can, the opportunity, sky is the limit. And so it kind of hits home, because when I see people are not where they want to be in life, or they're kind of woe is me, I'm like, you created that reality. Like there was a way to dig out almost no matter what your circumstance was.
Right. Yep. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
So I think it's back to the not being willing to invest in the business, maybe not being willing to invest in their team. It could be in more marketing. I mean, I know a lot of, you know, of pretty accomplished real estate investors. And sometimes the answer is as simple as like, you need to hire a COO or an operations person, or you need to double your advertising. Like it's working so well, why wouldn't you raise that up? And so sometimes it's simple answers, but it's really kind of back to just investing in themselves and in their, into their business.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I love to travel. Like we do quite a bit of travel. I have a son that's in high school now, so sometimes it's hard to get him to go with us. He's like, he'll drag his feet, but we've traveled, done a lot of amazing things really in the time that I've been a real estate investor. Yeah. So I love to travel.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
For me, it's doing things like this, like being on podcasts. As you know, I've done a ton of my own podcasting over the years. We're actually about to do something pretty incredible in the kind of podcasting space by Flip Nerd becoming, I'll just go ahead and put it out there. I don't know if I've actually said this publicly before, but becoming more of a podcast network where we have several different hosts and shows on the Flip Nerd network, if you will. And so I think just kind of sharing our knowledge, sharing our experiences, and doing that, you know, largely through social media and podcasts to just try to hopefully one way or another, kind of be a beacon of hope, if you will, for others out there that are thinking about jumping in.
Yeah, no, well, that's tremendous. I know you have made a deep impact in this community, so I'm appreciative of it. If for people who want to find you, follow you, connect, learn more about everything we've talked about, Investor Fuel or Investor Machine, what should they do? Where should they
go? Sure. Yeah. The best thing is you can find me on Facebook. I'm maxed out on friends. So just hit the follow button and you'll kind of follow along with whatever I post out there. In terms of Investor Fuel, you can go to investorfuel.com and learn more about us. And there's an opportunity to schedule a call and talk with our team if you're interested in that. And for Investor Machine, it's actually theinvestormachine.com. We have a 15-minute kind of overview of our process. I need to update that video. It's a little bit dated and we do some things even better now than we did in the past, but it'll give people a quick overview of our model and how it works. And we're not pushy salespeople. I am sales oriented. I have a sales team of people on my team, but we're happy to just answer questions and talk to folks and see if any of these things are a fit. And if not, then that's totally cool too.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get all the links in the show notes here. Well, hey, for the audience's sake, I can't go this whole conversation without mentioning to them that you and I hail from Des Moines, Iowa, born and raised, still here.
Yeah.
And you were born in Iowa.
And Illinois side.
Oh, you were born
right over the river.
You could see it. You could see
it. Yeah, you could see it. You could smell it.
You can smell it.
I don't know which side you're smelling, but...
Although they're running hogs today.
Yeah.
No, cool. Well, it's always, and I know you got family back this way, so it's kind of funny just from down the road.
I was actually thinking about you. I went up to visit. I drove up actually to visit my family. Yeah. My mom's got some health issues. And anyway, drove up there a few weeks back and came through Des Moines. Yeah. That was part of on the tail end of a long drive. So
yeah, I understand how that goes.
But whenever I go through Des Moines, which is not that often, I'm like, maybe I'll see Neil while I'm ripping through here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect. Very valuable. It's fun to hear your story all the way through and the impact you're making in this community. And people should absolutely follow you and connect up when they get a chance.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the opportunity to share my story.
You bet. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner.
Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.